to bring all these performers into one place and have them perform back to back captures the diversity of contemporary living Jewish musical expression. People think it's something out of the past, people think that it's something that's done solely for nostalgia purposes, but if you attend all of these events that they have at the Book Center, at Yitzhak, or in general, you come to realize that it's a very active, vibrant, diverse, and lively, living, and evolving culture.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to The Big Schmear, the podcast celebrating Jewish arts and culture. I'm Beth Schenker, your host. It's been quite a while since my last post, but I'm back, and with the expanded focus on Jewish culture that I look forward to sharing with you. I can already feel that ever so slight change in the weather, and before summer is too far from our thoughts, I want to share a special experience I had this summer at the Yiddish Book Center in Amherst, Massachusetts, for the last day of Yitzhak 2022. Think back with me to July. It's a beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky, and all around you is green, everywhere, in every shade of green you can imagine. The Yiddish Book Center sits at the edge of Hampshire College. The center itself is unique both in its distinctive architectural design, reminiscent of the Jewish shtetls of Eastern Europe, and all that's contained inside. The Yiddish Book Center is a library, a museum, an education center, and it houses a lecture hall and a small theater, providing opportunities to experience Yiddish culture. I'm here this July for the final day of Yitzhak 2022, celebrating its 10th anniversary. Before arriving at Yitzhak, I had the pleasure of talking with Lisa Newman, Director of Publishing and Public Programs at the Yiddish Book Center, and Seth Rogovoy, the Programming Consultant and Artistic Director of Yitzhak, the Festival of New Yiddish Music. I hope you will enjoy this taste of Yiddish culture as much as I enjoyed talking with Lisa and Seth. I begin the conversation with Lisa as she gives us a background on the center and explains how Yitzhak became a natural outgrowth in all that they do to keep Yiddish culture alive.
The center was founded in 1980 by Aaron Lansky, who's currently our still our president, very much involved. And he set out to rescue Yiddish books, which were not readily available. They were being discarded by a generation who weren't able to read the language anymore. He needed them for his studies, and one thing led to another. And suddenly he took a sabbatical 42 years later, rescued 1.5 million books. Education has always been a core part of the center, so its mission expanded from the rescue of the Yiddish books to beginning to have educational programs. We now have over 10 educational programs. Many of them are scholarship, you know, full scholarship for college students learning Yiddish, high school students learning about great Jewish literature, rabbis and cantors learning about the literature, Yiddish school, et cetera, on and on and on. Additionally, the center was very big in pioneering digitization. The mission has always been to redistribute the books and get them out into the hands of readers. We digitized 12,000 books to date in our Steven Spielberg Digital Yiddish Library, won a national medal for our work in that realm. We've gone on to launch a translation initiative to train and mentor a new generation of Yiddish translators so that we can continue to open up the literature to English speakers. We have a publishing venture, White Goat Press. We're publishing new works in translation. We do a lot of public programming. And 10 years ago, our executive director, Susan Bronson, got together with Seth Rogovoy, and they thought Yiddish would be a great addition to our programming, to really bring together programming for this four-day festival each summer. And I think what it does is it speaks to a lot of what I just mentioned, that Yiddish is a language and it bore out in culture, in music, in theater, in literature, in all different ways. And there's a continuum to them. There's new evolutions. It borrows from different cultures, from food to language to everything. So this seems like a natural extension of the center's mission and work. And I would turn it over to Seth maybe to just add how you see that fitting into that mission.
Thank you. Well, I think that Yiddish and our musical programming totally fits into the overall mission of the Yiddish Book Center. And here's how. We in our programming are about perpetuating and celebrating new Yiddish music. Fortunately, the initial klezmer revival and the Yiddish music revival began approximately in the mid-1970s, say. And all we've seen since then is, you know, a diagonal line going up in terms of the number of performers doing the music, the relative quality of the music, the innovations especially. You know, we call it Yidstock, the festival of new Yiddish music, for a reason. These are not museum exhibits on stage. I mean, we have galleries, but musically, we're not basing our programming on nostalgia for what once was, although that's certainly, you can't help. I'm sure there are some people, probably a large number of people, who can't help experiencing that. But it's not because we or our musicians are going after that. What we're really about, because so many strides have been made in Yiddish music over the last 40 plus years, I guess, is what we're talking about, in terms of incorporating, creating new music, new songs, incorporating new influences. You know, if you go throughout history, you know, everybody's nostalgia is different. You know, well, maybe somebody's nostalgia was for the sound of 1945, and they think that that was Yiddish music. But, you know, what about 1845? What about, exactly, you know, 1545? And here we are in 2022. And so many musicians are speaking through their music in the particular language and accent of our time, so that this is utterly contemporary, up to the moment. And we see that every year with new music being presented at the Yidstock Festival.
So I'm wondering, when you look at criteria for putting together a festival, what do you think about in terms of that blend of new Yiddish music?
Well, thanks. As much as we're talking about new music, every one of our performers, since going back 10 years, they have their feet both in the old world and in the new world. These are people who have studied deeply whatever particular aspects of Yiddish music and klezmer that there is in their field. These are people who have studied Yiddish poetry and you know, Yiddish song lyrics in their field. So you have to be rooted in the tradition in order to advance it in some way that is genuine. So what we're looking for is a variety. In other words, there's cabaret style performances. There is instrumental music, which could, you know, be derived from klezmer, but maybe has jazz influences in it, or even hip hop influences in it. Because at least for 10 or probably 20 years now, you know, there are Yiddish music artists who have used the techniques of hip hop to create new Yiddish music with sampling of old Yiddish records. And it comes out in this wonderful blend. So we draw, some of the music draws from perhaps the more religious side of Yiddish music, liturgical music, both instrumental and vocal. You know, we're very careful about who we bring. We always try to bring a combination of people who have been before and have become audience favorites. And they're always doing new programs with artists who have not been there before, like Cantor Yaakov Lemmer this year. Nothing but the best at Yiddstock.
Absolutely. So because it's a big anniversary year for you, and there was the pandemic disruption, has that impacted how you thought about the festival at all this year?
Well, certainly, it being the 10th anniversary, in some ways we wanted to, you know, bring back some of the, not, we couldn't bring back all of the 9 years of artists preceding us, but we wanted to bring back a lot of the favorites over the course of the first decade. And, but again, always in new ways, you know, it's not like programs get repeated song for song or word for word. And, you know, often we, in a sense, work with the artists, support them. It's really like commissioning new works. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk, I'll start conversations with the artist more than a year before, saying, you know, what are you working on? Maybe I have an idea. Wouldn't it be cool if you joined forces with this other artist and you guys did something together? And that's happened over the years. And you know, so great things have come from that.
That's exciting. That's really exciting. So in addition to the actual live concerts that people will be hearing, there's film screenings and dance workshops and lectures. And I'm wondering, were those always a part of the festival, or did they kind of grow out of the concerts? Tell me a little bit about that.
Originally, when we launched Yitzhak all those 10 years ago, it was only a couple of days, and it's expanded to 4 days, which is great. And we did add the talks and the workshops. It's been a really nice opportunity. I think one of the things that makes Yitzhak special is there's a lot of cross-pollination, because you get these artists here at the center. They love coming here because they get a chance. It's like going to camp. They can be creative. They can work together. Someone will hop on the stage unexpectedly. And the talks were also an opportunity for an audience to really have an intimate conversation, as it were, with the musicians, and to really understand what's behind their work. I mean, they're great performers, but they're also really interesting thinkers. They are drawing from the roots of Yiddish. A lot of them perform in different ways. Some of them have stage plays and operas. We had a string quartet once by Sokol. So again, the talks were really something that began to roll out and pick up a lot of momentum. And in most instances, like the concerts, they end up being sold out because people are here and they really love to get kind of a firsthand preview of what the work is about from the artists themselves.
If there was one takeaway that you wanted to have for the audience, members of the audience, what would that be? And you both should answer that, because it could be different things.
What I hope, you know, besides being, as I say, entertained and possibly challenged or provoked in a, you know, intellectual or emotional way, besides all that, I would hope that people's minds are expanded when they think about, when they hear the term Yiddish music or klezmer, that they've experienced something which is recognizably of that genre, something that they may not have thought of or heard of before. So that notion of Yiddish music in their mind is blown up in a way, certainly that at the very least, that it's not something about the past, mm-hmm. that it is something in the here and now, and you're hearing stuff with the ink is still wet on the page. You know, the notes are still being written, you know, in that moment, and they'll be rewritten tomorrow. And often musicians will debut projects at Yitzhak, because we encourage that, you know, and then they go off and share them with the world. So I guess that's what one of the, if not the most important takeaway I'd like people to have.
And what about you, Lisa?
Well, first of all, in my role, I want them to be really happy and comfortable. I don't want it to be too hot or too cold, too loud or too soft. No. But I guess the word I would attach to it would be possibilities. I think it's so exciting. And that's the one thing I've seen here in our work over 10 years, the possibilities for Yiddish that are ongoing, and being able to make that possible. It's crazy. When I again, came the first year, I thought 4 days of klezmer. And I had such a stereotypical idea of what that was going to be like. I didn't think there was anybody doing techno pop with the music. I didn't think that anybody would sit down and do it. Was it a four-piece quartet with the music or Woody Guthrie? It's just, it's really amazing that the imagination can go where it wants to go and evolve this and borrow and again, allow for these possibilities. I think that's pretty cool.
So separate from that, do you personally have certain expectations that you, for you, what do you want? What do you want to have happen? And, or what's the most exciting thing for you personally from your two different perspectives on the festival?
It's a great question. And given that I'm basically for the most part, the one who finds these artists and brings them. And I do that obviously, or maybe not obviously, but I do that out of deep listening. I mean, I almost never book somebody who I haven't seen perform before because I want to make sure that they're up to Yidstock's high standards. So it's hard on paper. It's hard to surprise me since I know what to expect. That being said, every year, things happen on stage that just blow me away. And not just me. I know we stand in the back because almost everything is always sold out and don't want to take up seats. And we look at each other and we're bouncing and we're smiling. And we're like, wow, this is one of the best. And every year it's like, that was the best. Every year, no, that was the best. So
it's funny that you say that, Seth, because when I was thinking this through while you were talking, the thing that came to mind was Seth, Susan Bronson, and I are always in the back, standing against the wall, watching all of this after a long lot of months of working up to it. And there are these moments where we just turn sideways and all it is a glance of eyes. And you're just like, it's happy making, it's working, it's fun. It's still full of surprises, no matter how many times we've gone over all the details. It's just kind of great. It's fun.
That was Lisa Newman, Director of Publishing and Public Programs at the Yiddish Book Center, and Seth Rogovoy, Programming Consultant and Artistic Director of Yidstock, the Festival of New Yiddish Music. I arrived at Yidstock on Sunday morning to the sounds of an outdoor Yiddish singing workshop already in progress. I caught up with Asia Shulman, the Director of the Yiddish Language Institute of the Yiddish Book Center. Asia holds a PhD in Yiddish from Harvard. Her research was on the Yiddish songs and singing practices of contemporary Hasidic women.
Yiddish has always been very, very important in my family, and my parents actually founded one of the very first Yiddish websites on the early internet. It was called the Virtual Shtetl. Now it's mostly just an archive, but at the time it was the biggest and first Yiddish website. So I grew up with this idea of the importance of Yiddish playing a really big role in our life, and I grew up listening to Yiddish music and going to Yiddish festivals. And really, the first Yiddish festival I went to, which was the Mamaloshin Festival, doesn't exist anymore, but that really hooked me in. I was just amazed at seeing all of these people speaking Yiddish, doing Yiddish workshops. And I've always really loved languages. When I was in school, my favorite subject was French. I thought I was going to be a French teacher when I grew up. So, you know, that combined with the role that Yiddish played in my family's life just kind of made sense to put it together and to begin studying the language in earnest.
During the program breaks, audience members and artists mingle outside. Here's some of the people I met while hanging out during the breaks. Ruth Stark, serious singing participant and board member of the Yiddish Book Center and professor at SUNY.
It's ours. It belongs to us, and it has the right tom. I didn't learn it at home. I learned it in Yiddish school, so that was a little atypical, but I love it and I don't get to speak it very often, so coming to events like this and being involved with the Book Center keeps me in touch, and also seeing the young people. There are many young people here. That is magic.
one of the many Yitzhak returnees, Bruce Gilbert.
My mother spoke Yiddish very fluently. My grandmother, who lived till 96, spoke Yiddish. And I always had a feeling, I don't speak Yiddish, but I always had a feeling of connection to Yiddish. And when we first heard about the Yiddish Book Center, we said, let's give it a try. Of course, we only live about an hour and a half away in Beckett. And we came here and we just fell in love with the place. They've done a lot of improvements to it over the years, but it's still a very warm, welcoming environment. And we can't not go to Yitzhak, knowing that it means so much in the history of our family. And it brings back memories of years gone by, my childhood when my grandmother lived with us and spoke only Yiddish. And it's a way to renew my past, even though I might have been even living in that past.
Aaron Benditch, radio host and record label founder of Borscht Beat.
I did radio in college, and during the pandemic, I fell deep into doing Jewish music on the radio again, syndicating my show to a few stations, and more recently started branching out into running my own record label, also called Borscht Beat, to release new Jewish music.
Is there an artist or artists that are performing that are on your label that are performing here at Yitzhak?
Yes, yeah, so Svei Breeder, a duo, Anthony Russell and Dimitri Gaskin, and the group Bemela have just started to release their album, Cosmopolitan, and it's they're performing it at Yitzhak. It's a bunch of these modernist Yiddish poems from the first half of the 20th century set to new musical compositions and performed in an incredible, just beautiful style. It's really moving music to me, and I think a lot of people enjoy hearing it.
And speaking of Borscht Beat, I'm going to share an excerpt from one tune on the album. It's called Mayan Hem, My Home, and it's composed and arranged by Anthony Russell and Dimitri Gaskin, with poetry by Avram Raisin.
Denn till dicker jid und ich schäm mich nicht doch sorgen und ich kann es nicht vertragen wenn sie sorgen mir als nicht dort hab ich verbracht viel jod in so einer kleinen stiebel ich wär wesen hund verrieben wenn er ruft des goles gor ich hab lieb mein alte heim und ich zog es eich aus Grieflech als gespielt hab ich sich Grieflech mit die Prise belicht von Lehm mir von Honig ja gewiss als es in der Heim gewesen mit den chronischen Bläus gelesen mit den Honig ach wie süß Yo ba 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 ba
That was great, and not your usual tune that comes to mind when thinking about Yiddish music. If you're interested in hearing more from this recording, please check out borscht beat.bandcamp.com. Here's a little more detail about what was available to experience at the festival. There were concerts by cantor Yaakov Lemmer, the Eleanor Reese Ensemble, Paul Shapiro's Ribs and Brisket, So-Called, and the Klezmatics. The workshops included dance workshops, instrumental klezmer, and Yiddish singing. There were talks on so many topics, such as Hasidic nigunim, musicians talking about their craft, development of Black Yiddishkeit, and future plans and exhibits at the Yiddish Book Center. And there was so much more. Please check out yiddishbookcenter.org to find out more on current museum exhibits and the next dates for Yitzhak 2023. A big shout out and thank you to my good friend Sandy Morgan in Chicago for sending me the link to Yitzhak 2022. Another shout out to all those who took the time to talk with me on a hot and sunny Sunday to share their own stories and experiences of Yitzhak 2022. It's through their generosity of time that I became better able to bring the true sense of community and the importance of this cultural experience to all of you. As I continue my thank yous, last but definitely not least is my recording and mix engineer, Steve Robinson. He's the best. I could not have done it without him. The Big Shmir theme music is performed by Cavatino Duo on their CD entitled Sephardic Journey on the CD record label. If you like The Big Shmir, please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any new episodes. And of course, feel free to recommend The Big Shmir to all your friends. You can hear previous episodes on your favorite podcast platform or check out my website, thebigshmir.com, where you'll also see recipes from previous guests who share their passion for Jewish food. If you have any comments or questions, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at beth@thebigshmir.com. Shmir is spelled S-C-H-M-E-A-R. I'm Beth Shanker, the host of The Big Shmir. Thank you for listening.